Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Represent podcast. I'm Brittany Bishop, head of creative network development, aka Represent, at Original Media Ventures. I'm so excited to not only be hosting my first podcast, but to introduce today's special guest and dear friend, Jasmine Jaisinghani. She's a producer, a world cinema specialist, a youth programmer, and that's not all. She's amazing. Let's let her introduce herself. Welcome, Jasmine.
So great to be welcomed by you, Brittany, and thank you for all your support.
Of course.
Shall I?
Yeah, you know, let's kick it off by letting the listeners get to know you a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career?
Absolutely. Well, I've been in the creative industry really since I was a kid. I knew at a pretty young age I was into theater. I was a total dork, a total Andrew Lloyd Webber fan, and I got into Phantom of the Opera, and I was like, Mom, this is what I want to do. So it was actually really musicals that got me into this idea of creativity and storytelling. And I studied theater. I went to a local arts high school. It was a public school, and I did theater. And at a pretty young age, I realized that even though I was doing acting at that art school, I could already, at the age of 15, 16 years old, cast myself out. I couldn't see myself in media. I didn't see any roles that I could potentially do. So I got interested into directing. I directed my first play when I was 16, fundraised the money with some donations of Edamame's Donuts. And
yes, please.
And I set on a path of being a theater director. And I went to Carnegie Mellon and I studied theatrical direction. And that's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is a really dear city to me, second home. And when I was in Pittsburgh, I would go to the drive-in movie theaters. They still actually have one in Pittsburgh. And when I went to the drive-in movie theaters, I would see how an audience was engaging about films during the transition between the first film and the second film, right? Everybody between the two films, if anybody doesn't know, when you go to a drive-in cinema, you have one film, then you have a break, you go to the concession stands, get whatever, and then see the second film.
Love drive-ins.
It's an amazing cinematic experience. And it's also an amazing cultural and community experience.
Right.
So during that transition time of the concession stands, I was hearing how everybody was reacting to the films and how it was connecting to their lives. And at that time, I was directing some pretty obscure avant-garde theater. And I was thinking, what am I, like, who is my audience? What is my ultimate goal as a storyteller? Is it, you know, artists that have access to kind of avant-garde theater, or would I like to reach a broader audience? So I discovered this actually in my senior year of doing theater for 4 years, pretty seriously. And when I came back home to Los Angeles, I sought out to become a filmmaker. But this is some time ago. This is 1999.
Okay.
So people can do the math and figure out how old I am. But it's important to be forthright about things like that, because a lot has changed in these past almost 20 years, right?
Yes.
And, you know, in 1999, when I was right out of undergrad and I'm come back to Los Angeles and I developed a film, the entire industry was completely different. And I didn't actually understand what was happening. I had experience of directing everything from Chekhov to Shakespeare. I could analyze story. I thought that I had some talent and vision and ideas and a tremendous amount of energy, but I didn't actually know why I wasn't succeeding. I thought it was actually me.
Of course.
Right.
Everyone always does.
Yeah.
The biggest critics.
Exactly. So, you know, like any other person, I have to get a day job. I get a day job at Capitol Records and I rock that job. And I'm working at Capitol Records, and this is right when the music industry is about to make a big change. So we had artists like Coldplay, we had Dilated Peoples, We had Radiohead.
Awesome.
It was amazing. We were still working on record play. Like, we were still working on getting songs on the radio. Mm-hmm. So I was in promotions and I was rocking it. And my bosses were like, you should become, an executive, like, stay with us. I was like, this is great, but this is not me. I'm a storyteller. Mm-hmm. This is my day job. Long story short, through a variety of luck, circumstance, and chance, I was moonlighting for George Harrison's record label. It was at a time where they just needed somebody to do some, like, administrative work. And so I managed to take that job into a full-time position. And I went from doing, like, administrative work to working on a lot of their archives, dealing with some of the film projects that they had had. So I was connecting the dots,
getting back there,
right? So I spent about 4 years working for the George Harrison estate. We worked on, I had the real blessing of working on projects like Concert for George. And I was getting back into tying film and media. And then, of course, I was in the music, it was in a specialized space of the music industry. My mom, who works in the jazz industry, was a media sponsor for the Indian Film Festival. And I attended the Indian Film Festival, and I was completely blown away by the type of cinema I was seeing. I had never seen films like that before. Mm-hmm. It was completely anything that I had ever experienced. I knew about Bollywood, or I knew about Sajid Ray, but I didn't know about this new wave of Indian cinema.
Right.
Long story short, I quit my job at Dark Horse, had that feeling of I have to go back to story, joined the Indian Film Festival. And once I joined the Indian Film Festival, I felt like I was a part of this exciting community of artists, filmmakers, storytellers, bringing in this special type of cinema that didn't exist in Los Angeles.
Right.
This is like now 2005, 2006. And through that moment, I always tell, I used to run the Indian Film Festival a few years later. That moment and that sense of taking that creative abandonment, that sense of like taking that jump off, connected me to so many things in my life. You know, I connected to the American Film Institute, AFI Fest. I got into independent film producing. I got connected into world cinema. And fast forward, you know, I've had about 10 years of working in this space as a world cinema producer, consultant, specialist, programmer. And through that, I realized that going back to the same idea, what is something really doing, right? Remember, I was having that conversation about being at the concession stand.
Right, yep.
Right. And thinking, who is my real audience?
What are they talking about? What do they want?
And
can I get to them?
Exactly.
Yes.
So I'm starting to have this dialogue about 3-4 years ago. Me and my colleague at AFI Fest, when we were both there, had developed a screen education program for Title I students. And we were showing them world cinema and bringing them from different places throughout Los Angeles. And when I was welcoming them in the Chinese Theater, in the TCL, mm-hmm. this beautiful theater on Hollywood Boulevard, and connecting them to films, connecting them to filmmakers, all of a sudden I realized this is actually what my real purpose is to bring cinema, storytelling, access, and agency to not just youth, but to the underrepresented youth, because that was basically me.
Exactly.
20 years prior.
Yeah. And that is a great segue. And obviously, you know, I should tell our listeners that OMV has engaged with Global Girl Media, which you can speak a little bit about. You were the director of programming there, here in Los Angeles, I should say, and you worked with so many incredible young women from underrepresented communities, teaching them how to use digital journalism and storytelling to affect social change. And I really want to hone in on that because I feel like we have so many young creatives all around the country who are trying to figure out how to jump into this and then obviously how to navigate it. And so would love for you to speak a little bit about your experience working with the girls and just from the beginning, because right? They learned everything in a month. That's crazy. They learned everything in a month.
Yeah, so OMV was one of our amazing community supporters and sponsors. We created this wonderful four-week intensive media training program at USC Annenberg, 5 days a week, 6 to 8 hours or 9 hours a day, depending on the day. And the girls, through our co-producer, Women's Voices Now, and an amazing curriculum led by Layla Jarman of Women's Voices Now, the girls learned how to use a camera and how to tell a story and develop the critical thinking skills.
Right.
To become, whether it's an aspiring journalist or a media maker.
Right, right.
And it was probably the most impactful experience of my life that I felt the most proud of. And to see the transformation of these 19 young women in our program over the 4 weeks' time. You were there, the premiere 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And hopefully soon the audience that's listening to this can listen, you know, watch the films that the girls made, which are relevant to what is going on in their community.
Yes.
Whether it's about...
And they're learning how to use their voice.
Exactly.
And that was huge. And that was very evident in the screenings. And I was completely moved. I can't even believe, I can't even imagine on your end just working with them day to day and seeing the progress day over day. And the passion behind it all and hearing them speak about it. But yes, I would love to figure out how we can get all of our listeners to watch because they were phenomenal shorts. Yeah.
Yes. I think we'll have a call to action soon of how to watch those films. But it was an amazing experience, but it was also just giving them the space of safety to do what was already inside of them.
Yeah.
These stories already existed inside of them. And actually how quickly they were able to pick up the camera was more, I feel like youth is once they have a camera, once they have technology, they can pick it up faster than somebody that's 20 years older than them. So, you know, as far as getting, you know, if anybody ever has any opportunity or access to rent out equipment or work someplace where they can exchange volunteer hours to get equipment rentals or, you know, get those opportunities and learn and get your hands onto equipment, because really the younger you are, it's like learning another language.
Totally.
You can pick it up faster.
Totally. So as a woman of color, can you talk about a little bit about how you've navigated the entertainment industry all along with that, your approaches and the lens that you view everything with and how that's really impacted your work?
Well, I think that when you come from a cultural background, I come from two different cultures. I'm Mexican-American and Southeast Indian. It's an inherent part of the fabric of who you are. And you look at everything through that fabric, right? And when you're looking at media, you're identifying with characters or you're not identifying with them. You're identifying with the stories you're being told that you're not. So I've always strived to tell stories that not only represent myself, but my community. I always tell filmmakers that I've worked with, the best story that you can possibly tell is a story that comes from within yourself, something that comes within your own community. And if we all look at things that way, if we all look at our specific fabric, then we can create that representation. So I think that I've never not tried to achieve that, but it was difficult.
Totally.
Because when you're in this, you know, like when I had projects at studios, they would say to me, oh, well, this is a really great film, but those two first lead characters, can you rewrite those or have your director, writer rewrite those? And they, you know, we have to have a Caucasian character there. Mm-hmm. But then these other characters can be that, whatever ethnicity that you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that never resonated with me. And I think that now is such an exciting time because the studios and the production companies are actually having to fill that need.
Mm-hmm. Because they need to expand that pipeline. They need to find these people. And they are out there. They're just often not looking in the right places for them.
Well, and it's also the fact that it's the audience is there, right? There's the actual movie-going and viewing audience is diversity.
And craving it. craving stories like that.
Exactly. So I think that this is a really exciting time for young content makers. It doesn't matter age. When I mean young, I mean emerging, rather, content makers. But my advice would be making sure that you're telling a story that is authentic.
Yes.
And the more authentic that you can tell that story, the more successful it'll be. And I think that it's been difficult, but now is really the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I tell this to my girls all the time. I'm like, this is your moment to harness.
Yes.
And decades, whether you're a woman of color or whatever it is, you're a woman. You know, it has taken decades to get to this place that we're at right now.
Absolutely. Very exciting time. Do you have any advice for people across the country, like I mentioned, because we have listeners from all over, who may not have certain resources and tools available to them locally? Do you have any advice for them if they're obviously not on the coast in New York, in LA? What would your advice be to get started, or, you know, if they're feeling stuck?
Yeah. Well, I think whatever the format is, if they want to do radio or they want to do TV or theater or music, there is some type of organization, you know, whether it's the local radio station or the local independent theater, get involved. Yeah. And also identifying what is the interest of that community. Like, is that community really interested in telling stories about, I don't know, horseback riders? You know, it's like whatever is specific to where you're at, tell that story if that resonates with you, because that story has not been told before in that community through your lens. So I think that find a way to connect, whether it's your local radio station or your local theater company or your independent theater chain, and also connect with OMV, because
yes, connect with us. That's a fair thing. We every day are trying to build our portal up to serve our community, and we look to provide outside resources, and there will be eventually a spot on there that everyone can go to that has film and media organizations that are free and accessible all across the country. So definitely look out for that. I feel like we're closing in on our time, but this has been amazing and we could talk for hours and hours. If you guys listening have any other questions for Jasmine, feel free to tweet us at Represent by OMV on Twitter or Instagram, and we will facilitate those questions and get back to you.
Thank you so much for having me,
Brittany. Of course, my pleasure. Bye, guys. See you next time.